Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight.
Yeah.
What he said. Except for the part about Twitter. I'm not on Twitter anymore. Other than that, it's all completely factual. Thank you for joining me this evening. This is Mudtoe at Midnight. I am Mudtoe Sasquatch. It is good to be here, as we say. Actually, we're supposed to say it is good for us to be here. But in the Midwest, we've shortened that a bit just to extend our independence, I think, just to be contrary. I don't know. Let's see. What shall we talk about this evening? I'll tell you a little bit about our other shows on the With Insights radio channel of blogtalkradio.com. You can listen to Iggy and Rosa give you intuitive readings on Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. Jenny Seek's show is on Tuesdays at 7, and Heather Tapia's Entrepreneurial Excellence is on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. And then on Fridays at midnight, it's me, Mudtoe Sasquatch, here with you, sharing my thoughts for half an hour. Midnight Eastern Standard Time. We've rolled the clocks back. And this could be a low-energy show because I did not get my nap today. I did not get my nap, so the juice is running a bit low. I'll try and stay focused for the duration of our visit together. On Sunday, last week, this past week, I was honored to attend, what would you call it? I don't think you'd properly call it a memorial service. I'll just describe it. A friend of mine, unfortunately, her son passed away earlier this summer, and she held a service for him where a tree was planted in his honor at the school that he attended. He was 14 years old. And it was wonderful to be a part of that. There were many, many friends, many young people who were friends with the young boy, Noah. And he was surrounded by love and I think finally sent along on his way in the best way that he could be. I wrote about that on my blog today. You can find that at mudtoesasquatch.com. I think it's a good piece of work, if I do say so myself. Jody, Noah's mother, has blessed it. She said that she liked it very much. So there's that. If you'd like to dial that up on your internet connection and check that out, and there are many other samples of my writing, my short subject writing, as it were. If you'd like to see or get a little bit of insight into who I am and what I'm all about, you'll find it there. Tuesday, the blog entries appear on Tuesdays and Fridays, generally sometimes in the early afternoon, sometimes a little later than that, just depending on how I'm doing. Tuesday's blog entry was, of course, about the Great National Circus that has just ended, and talked a little bit about how I chose not to participate, incurring the wrath of many of my friends. So there's two very different events, two very different pieces of writing, Tuesday's blog and Friday's blog. I'm hoping you'll check that out and let me know. You can leave a message for me there on the website itself, but if you do that, I ask that you give me some sort of indication that that you are a human being and not a robotic source leaving the message. Basically, what you need to do is say something actually about the post, because what a robot post does is says, "I loved your post," you know, and then it puts a link on there to sell Uggs or something. So if you say to me what it is that you like about the post, which is what is helpful to me anyway, what you liked or what you didn't like about the post, give me some feedback, and then I will know if actual feedback appears in your message. I know that it came from a human being, and of course I will then approve it. I have a thing where I have to click on it before it actually gets posted on my. I almost had it, and it's gone. Anyway, that's how I know that you're a real person. I'll go ahead and pass it along, and other people can see it. And I do not edit the comments or withhold any comments for content. If you think it sucks, that's okay. I can post it on there. The only way I would withhold it is if you used racial comments or something like that. That would be unacceptable to me. Something that I would not. Put on the blog myself. Then I will utilize my executive authority to eliminate it. But other than that, it's only for comment. Just for what you said, I won't throw it out for that. So there's that topic covered. I could talk more. I actually would kind of like to talk more about the service itself, but I want to. I covered those details rather thoroughly in the blog entry, and I want to encourage people to go and read it. And I don't want to spoil it for you. So maybe in a future show I will talk about that more. But for now, I'm afraid I'm going to force you to go to the website. Again, that's mudtoesasquatch.com, and have a look at it there and see what else is going on in the life of Mudtoe. I had a nice visit with my daughter and my granddaughter last night. Always good to have a chance to sit down with them, although my granddaughter had to go. She was very tired. She had to go to bed almost right away. But I did get hug and kisses from her, which was very nice. I put her down. She always goes down in bed. You know, just you put her down, and she just stays. She doesn't go to sleep right away. She has some toys, some kind of sort of creepy toys that entertain her. One in particular has like a flashing light and a voice that sings songs to her. And it calls her by name. It's one of those things where you order it special. You tell them what the kid's name is, and they program it to call the child by name. And I just always wonder what those things start to say when I'm not around. Robin Williams, the thing about that, I'm stealing that from Robin Williams. But anyway, he talked about it. He did it in reference to Teddy Ruxpin. But anyway, we put my granddaughter to bed, and my daughter and I were able to sit down. Her husband goes to school on Thursday nights. So the apartment was empty, and we were able to just sit for an hour and just talk. First time in, I don't remember how long, that we've been able to do that without other people around, you know, and just have that sort of wink and a nod kind of conversation where we don't have to wink and nod, we can just say it. Because, you know, we both know these characters that populate our lives. And you know, to other people who happen to be walking by, they're probably missing pieces for them, and they might presume that we don't have the proper amount of love for some of these people that maybe we ought to. But my daughter and I, you know, understand each other in that connection, and so we're able to talk. Some of the few people I know of that I can just talk to without. With most, not all, but most of the filters taken out of place, I can just let it fly. I've always appreciated that with her. You know, when she was younger, when she was a teenager, I used to take her to baseball games here in my large city in the Midwest. And of course, going to the baseball game, it starts at 7 o'clock, and you're driving through the city to get there on time. You're driving through the city at the tail end of rush hour, and it's still very crowded, and of course people are congregating in the ballpark as well. So my daughter got the opportunity to hear quite a few interesting words and phrases from me as people would cut me off trying to get onto the exit ramp and as I was trying to find my way into the proper lane and so forth. And I often found myself apologizing to her for that. And she told me, I remember her saying at the time that I had never said anything that she hadn't heard before, but there were some combinations that were new to her. So I guess, I don't know what was the lesson there. Be careful with what you teach your kids because they absorb it. I don't know. She told me about it at the time, so I guess it wasn't something that was going to come back and bite me in the ass later. And it was beyond the time that her mother could harm me in any way for something I'd said to her. We had an agreement, her mother and I, that we would never talk badly about, you know, one about the other in Brenda's presence. And I'd say I was able to hold to that about 98-99%. I know that my daughter's mother, my ex-wife, I don't think she held to it as much as I did. And I know that her parents barely held to it at all. So it was difficult, you know, trying to be honorable when I knew that people who were very important to my daughter were trashing me in her presence on a regular basis. They're gone now, and all the sins are paid. It certainly does me no good in the practical sense to harbor ill feelings toward them. They're both gone. What am I talking about? Her grandmother is gone. Her grandfather is still alive, but we never see him. I never have any contact with him. And my daughter just told me yesterday that she barely sees him anymore either. So it's like he's not around. But I know she was very, my daughter was very close to her maternal grandmother. And when she passed away, I was very worried that was going to have a, you know, a very negative impact on her, but she handled it very well. Emotionally, my daughter is far, far in advance of me. She passed me up long ago in the maturity department. So she's my teacher now, just as my granddaughter is my teacher as she fights through her difficulties. I learn courage and patience and temperance from them whenever I'm near them, and I'm very grateful in this time when we're supposed to be thinking about things we're grateful for. I'm very grateful to have them in my life. And you know, I had absolutely no plans at all to talk about all of that, but that's the way the show goes sometimes. You just never really know what's going to happen. I have a whole election thing to talk about. I don't really want to talk too much about that other than the fact that I didn't vote. I had thought I might. If I did vote, I was going to write in Bernie Sanders from Vermont, who won re-election to the Senate. I'm very happy to hear that. It seems to me he is a socialist. He is a socialist. It seems to me that while I think he would go a lot further than I would as far as, you know, what's the government's role in providing services to people. It seems to me he's someone who recognizes that the system is broken and that things need to change if anything is going to move forward. And nothing demonstrates that more clearly than the reactions, you know, to the election. It's just been a period in the last 3 days, a period of retrenchment. You know, there's no... or very little, I won't say there's no, there's very little of bringing people together, very little trying to meet, to solve our differences. It's all about, well, you don't understand. You don't understand what the situation is, and we have to educate you so that you'll understand. And that's a position I'm seeing a lot. I've seen lots of people printing. This is on Facebook. Facebook is my connection to the world. I don't have cable TV in my apartment, so Facebook and Yahoo is pretty much where I get my news from. CNN, I just gave up on CNN because there's just these long lists of headlines on their homepage, and they don't take any effort to let me know which of those stories are actual news stories and which of them are blog entries. And I have nothing against, specifically against blog entries. I do a blog myself, but I'm not a journalist. You know, what I'm writing in the blog comes from me. What these people in CNN, when they're writing a blog, it comes from them. It's not news. It's not the greatest thing about a blogger is that they're not responsible to anybody. And the worst thing about a blogger is they're not responsible to anybody. Okay, so I don't, you know, as far as the accuracy of facts that are reported, you have to do a lot of your own checking. You have to do all of your own checking. How do you're not, a blogger is not, does not have to be, certainly a news person can be a blogger. But it doesn't necessarily have to be, and I don't believe CNN takes enough trouble, takes enough trouble to let me know whether what I'm, it becomes obvious after you read a little bit. But I think I'd like to know going in before I click, before I give them credit for putting that that provocative headline up there, which, and often those headlines don't really have much to do with what the story is. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you can put some of them in blue and some of them in yellow, or put them in different columns or something, it'd be easy enough to do, it seems to me. CNN just doesn't take the trouble to do it. So I avoid their website. Also, it takes a long time to load and it crashes my computer a lot. So for those reasons, my news, and I won't go near Fox News, don't even ask me. It comes from Facebook and Yahoo, and I look at ESPN.com and SportsIllustrated.com to keep up with that sort of stuff. And so what I started to say before I went off on this ramble was that's what I'm seeing on Facebook is these lists. And usually part of the, as part of a picture, of whichever an unflattering picture of whichever candidate it is the person doesn't like. And then a list of all of these, all these things that are meant to make the person who voted for them feel silly. This is what this person, you voted for this person? What kind of a crackpot are you? That sort of thing. And it seems to me that sort of thing isn't helpful. That it's going to make it lends itself to keeping the gridlock on Capitol Hill in place, and that nothing will change in the next 4 years, and increasing the possibility that there's going to be a default on our debt, and the economic difficulties we've seen in the last 4 years are going to be nothing compared to what happens if our government fails in that way. So that scares me. Scares me first because I'm looking for a job. I'm trying to find employment, and I see the prospects for that becoming worse before they become better. And then just what happens if the economy collapses and there are no jobs? I'm not someone that has a lot of physical skills. I work with my brain. Brain work tends to lose its value when there's not a lot of cash floating around. People don't value it as much as they value someone who can build something or fix something or grow something. And that's where the importance of people beginning to take more responsibility for themselves, because the only way it's ever going to change is when people start just withdrawing from the system, saying, we're not going to buy your stuff anymore. We're not going to watch your television anymore. We're not going to, to buy your pumped up genetically altered foods. We're going to grow it ourselves. We're going to do things ourselves. We're going to build the things we need ourselves. And of course, the powers that be will fight that. They'll try and make home farming illegal. They'll try and make bartering illegal. It's a mess, and it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. We can recognize that we've been sold a bill of goods. We've been taught something that's simply not, I don't know, true or false probably doesn't apply to it. It's an axiom. We've been taught the axiom that number one is the only thing that's worth being. That's what we've been taught. So the proper way to comport ourselves in the world is to scratch and claw and kick each other and put our feet on each other's throats and climb our way to the top and then hang on for dear life until we get knocked off. And how much time, treasure, and energy is wasted on that process? How many wonders might the human race produce with energy, with the genius, with the heart that has been placed into those misguided efforts? The weight of it just it astounds me sometimes. And I want to shout it out to the world, but my shouting it out to the world wouldn't help. Maybe I can shout it out just a little bit at a time here on Blog Talk Radio and on my website and on my books, which are slowly creeping towards completion. So, now in a very smooth transition, I'm going to talk about hockey. Tonight I went to the hockey game. Our university, our very large university here in my large city in the Midwest, has a hockey team. And I went there to see them because I like hockey. And our city has an NHL team, but of course they're not working right now. And seeing them, even when they are working, seeing them costs about four times as much as seeing the college team does. Of course, because the pro hockey players are paid and the college hockey players are not. And I speak about sports, and some people, some of my friends criticize me about bringing sports into this as being sort of trivial compared to, well, the matter I was just discussing. You know, I went from you know, the way things are and the way things could be to a hockey game. But I think more and more we can look at, I'm looking at this current labor situation in the NHL. And the players enjoy a certain situation that most people do not enjoy with respect to their employer. If the players don't play, then there's no NHL. Now, I understand that's not the current situation. It's the owners that have locked out the players. But if the players decided that they didn't want to go out there on the ice, there's no replacing them with players who are anywhere close to the caliber as the ones that ordinarily go out there. Well, that's interesting. It's raining. I didn't think it was supposed to rain. It's raining rather hard. I'm glad I didn't call on this because I walked. I walked to the arena. I live about a half an hour's walk from the arena. And, you know, who wants to pay $5 to park? So I walked, and I walked back. And there's nothing in the forecast about rain. And yet here it is. And it is substantial. So what was I talking about? I was talking about being at the hockey game. And that the NHL could not go on without the hockey players, but it could go on without the owners. Now, it would be difficult because there are contracts that have been signed with television networks and with sponsors and so forth. But how many labor disputes like this will there have to be before players just said, you know, the hell with the owners, let's just do it ourselves? And, you know, that's not a trivial undertaking. I thought it would have been easier, I think, when the NBA players had their lockout last year. Because, I mean, NBA, I said what they should do is, I mean, just they had the schedule that was supposed to be, you know, played. The players could have just showed up. You know, they could, I mean, with basketball, what you need T-shirts and shorts and sneakers and a ball. And most cities of any size have, you know, can put up a basketball court. So they could have just gone and played, you know, and played the games. And, you know, they wouldn't, and guess what? Mr. Billionaire Owner Man. Now, I mean, at the beginning, they wouldn't have made near as much money. They would have had to build it up. But with time, you know, there's a whole big chunk of the profits that were going to. You set up an enterprise like our hockey team here in my city. That you know, we were told, we were sold all of this because we had to, you know, we had to have bonds and so forth to build the arena and all the surrounding support, you know, parking garages and restaurants and nightclubs and all the things that surround it. You know, how vital this was to our city and to our state to have this. And we have a casino now, it was sold to us the same way. And yet, there's always a capitalist involved, always an owner involved who's taking a piece of it. And my question is, if this is so vital, so if it's such an unquestionably good thing, and so vital to our survival, why don't we just own it? Why don't the people just own it? Why do we have to have this other guy in with his fingers in everything? And, you know, Lord knows, that was thunder. We are experiencing a November thunderstorm where I am. So if we have a power outage and I disappear, please excuse me. So how does that relate to anything anybody else cares about? It's really the same. You had said that if the players don't play, the players, there's no league without the players, but there could be a league without the owners. It applies to everything. It applies to every business there is. It's just that the people who own the businesses don't feel that way about their employees. They think that they can go, if their employees were all to walk off, they think they could go and take new employees off the shelf and just stick them in the holes. And is that really the case? Has anyone ever really tried to do that? Has anyone done that successfully, just completely remade a business from scratch with all new people? They don't value the work that their employees do for them. They're pieces of furniture as far as the employer is concerned. And you know, the employer has no qualms about eroding their salary and eroding their benefits, especially times like this when the unemployment rate is high and everybody knows somebody who's lost their job. Someone who's afraid for their job isn't going to complain about their salary and isn't going to complain about their working conditions. I think that our industrialists are perfectly happy with the way things are right now. Might not mind it if a few more people were out of work, because then they might be able to go after the minimum wage. And I think that's their wet dream. If they could get their own president and a few more people in the Senate, they might go after that minimum wage, and that would be another disaster for us. I mean, it would imagine people in the United States of America working for a dollar an hour. And that's what would happen. It would be, and people would take the jobs. That's the sad part. People would take those jobs, and it would be, and they just, in order to make things work, people would just start living on top of each other. You know, you'd have to have six or seven people enough to raise enough money to pay the rent. And so the parts of the country that are already depressed would become like third world countries, with people just living on top of each other. And I don't think that our wealthy cousins would mind that a bit. And it's all because of the way they've been taught. They've been taught this aggressive, predatory nature, that the best results are achieved when people are clawing each other's eyes out. Okay, I'm under 60 seconds to go. This program just flew by. Thank you for being here, being patient with me and listening. I'm going to turn the computer off and go to bed and wake up tomorrow and get some writing done. Please come back and join me next week when hopefully I'll have the foresight to make some notes and have the show be just a bit more organized. But I think it went well. And I do appreciate your listening, and once again, and have a good evening.